For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to the Scores NFL Draft Preview Show. Here are your hosts, Mark Grody and Anthony Herron.
With a big, fat focus on the Chicago Bears. Mark Grody and Anthony Herron, indeed, we get to be here with you guys until 9 o'clock tonight. Still to come on the show, Alex Shapiro from CHSN. We'll talk to him in just a bit. Eric Edholm at 8:25. He is a draft expert, so we will talk to him and get all sorts of goods from him. Now, right now, though, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to do our group think mock draft. And the way this is going to work with Big Ant and me is that we will just go through the board. We will decide who gets to make the first overall pick for Tennessee. Whomever that is makes the pick, and then that person is off the board and on to the next. So in other words, this is not just he and I going back and forth and debating necessarily the picks. We're going to put this together collectively here in just moments. The conundrum I'm having at the moment is who gets to make the first pick. Does anybody here right now, whether it is you, Anthony Herron, or you, Adam Studzinski, you, Lieutenant Weinberg, does anybody...
the little extra kind of funk that he put when he said Weinberg, like I thought that was one of the great deliveries in film history. You, Lieutenant Weinberg. Like, you could tell that meant a couple of different things.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been part of, I saw it that way. By the way, it's a few good men that we're talking about. And
just to let everybody in.
I felt bad for Lieutenant Weinberg because his reaction in the movie was like, what the hell, man? Leave me out. Right. You, Lieutenant Weinberg.
Exactly. Whoa. Why am I catching strays out here?
Yeah, like, you got the Tom Cruise guy. Worry about the Tom Cruise guy, not me. Weinberg. I'm so glad you got that.
Okay, so I have an idea for how we can decide who picks first here.
Okay.
I am currently on the website justflipacoin.com.
Okay.
Somebody pick.
Hilarious.
All right, we're going to go heads, Grody picks first, tails, Ant picks first.
Okay.
All right, we'll keep this real simple. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. It's flipping. It's tails, so Ant goes first.
You, Anthony Herron!
All right, so am I waiting for dramatic music?
Yeah, come on.
With the first pick in the 2025 670 the Score NFL Draft Special, the Tennessee Titans select Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami.
I think that that makes a lot of sense, Big Ant. High hopes for Will Levis at one point in time. It did
like
not
3 work. Months ago.
Yeah. I think that actually, you know when the downfall was? Ironically enough, considering how bad the Bears season was.
Bears.
That is correct. The Bears beat Tennessee 24-17 in the first game of the season. And I have to get this in because Studs and I, for some reason, did a, I'm going to call it a mini deep dive on the third string. Do you remember? I don't expect you to. Do you remember who the third string quarterback was for the Tennessee Titans last year, Big Ant?
Oh, not even close.
Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle, who also played for the Bears in the final game of the 2022 season. So I think Cam Ward sounds like a pretty good pick for Tennessee, the fine quarterback out of Miami. With the number two overall pick in our draft, the Cleveland Browns will take, yeah, of course, Travis Hunter, the cornerback, do you say wide receiver, to add to, and he could, his life could be fun, man, with Myles Garrett having been extended there. Travis Hunter, I can't wait to see what he is at the NFL level.
As a prospect, we've rarely seen players like this, at least in the modern era of football. Like before the National Football League existed, and there were the Iron Men just like doing a bunch of different stuff. Yeah, there's some Travis Hunter out there running around, probably different pigment in his skin. But way back then, who knows? Guys played a lot of different positions. Now here in modern times, we see a player like Travis Hunter that could be a high-level wide receiver, could be a high-level defensive back. And the only concern I have is just that because he's so good at so many different things, but you wonder, do you bring a player like this into the league and it in some ways hampers his development if he's asked to do a bunch of stuff right off the bat?
Right.
Now, it might not. I'm not going to put anything past Travis Hunter, but if there's anything that could slow down his development into being an immediate impact pro, it might be that. Just wondering, you get into Cleveland, is it a little dysfunctional there? It feels like they got a head coach who knows what he's doing, but they haven't gotten things right at quarterback. But you just wonder, you go in there, hey, spend all the time in the wide receiver room one day, then spend all the time in the DB room the next day. What do you really become great at if you're not allowing yourself the time to do it? That's my lone concern with Travis Hunter.
Right. At peak powers, he would be the Shohei Ohtani of the NFL.
Right.
So, okay. I think those are probably not particularly shocking picks right there. Big Ant, what you got for number three?
With the number three pick in the 2025 670 The Score NFL Draft Special Groupthink Mock Fantasy Draft. The New York Giants select Abdul Carter, edge defender, Penn State University.
I mean, how could you not? I mean, Abdul Carter at the beginning of the mock season was number one,
right?
In a lot of cases. So, yeah, I mean, That's a perfect pick right there. Giants, Abdul Carter at number three.
Now, let me throw this at you. With Abdul Carter, I mean, so one thing, it's good, Kayvon Thibodeau, if the Giants are going to move on, which that's what reports are saying, maybe they're shopping him around a little bit. Frankly, similar type of prospect coming out. Kayvon Thibodeau actually knew how to play defensive end better from his time in college because he spent basically his entire football development with his hand in the dirt. Abdul Carter's just figuring this thing out. So you can look at it either of two ways. The good thing is, even though he's a prospect that has a lot of growth that needs to happen as a guy who can set like a firm physical edge and truly play like real edge defender, defensive end every snap. So you hope he grows to that point. But unlike some of the other prospects who are just pure physical traits and a projection, he was remarkably productive for a guy who, frankly, didn't really know what he was doing as a defensive end last season. So at least the production is there. You know he can rush the quarterback. He's only got a couple of moves in his toolbox right now. So the sky's the limit, but he is a prospect that does need a lot of refinement for the position he's going to play.
Gifted for sure, but all good points right there. On to the number four pick. In our whatever you want to call this draft, the New England Patriots at number four, offensive tackle Will Campbell.
Let's go.
LSU.
That
became easy for me just because have done a lot of work.
I thought you were struggling with this one for a while.
Well,
didn't I hear you talking about arm length a bunch on the station recently?
Well, yeah, but for the Bears. I don't care how short his arms are for the Patriots.
That sounded a lot easier tonight than I thought it did a couple weeks ago. I came back from Hawaii, and I'm like, wait a minute. Mark Grody hates Will Campbell.
Oh, man. I'm allowed to be a hypocrite. I mean we're all it's draft season, man. Nothing has to stay. It's a fluid situation. But they have Harold Landry. They've done a lot of work on their defense. I know that they brought in Stephon Diggs on offense as well. But I just think that's, you know, to pair with your, at least they hope, their franchise quarterback, I think it makes a lot of sense to go with Will Campbell, the offensive tackle at LSU, despite the short arm guy.
That'd be a great pick for the Bears. It would. I think he is LT1. He's the best left tackle in this cycle. Yes, the arm length is worthy of concern because you're factoring in all the data points and all the history that's associated with this evaluation. But that being said, the film is exceptional. You know, it's imperfect, but it's exceptional. So I do think, like, there's some folks who would still tell you as of this moment that they could see Will Campbell being on the board at 10. When the Bears pick, I think you run that pick in if he's there.
Absolutely. Look, here is Will Campbell from day one of camp of his freshman year. He was a left tackle. So, you know, 38 games in a row at the left tackle spot. So that's what he does. So we shall see. You're right, though. It's general manager to general manager, scout to scout in terms of how they feel about the arm length. I think we are on to number five, Big Ant.
With the fifth pick in this groupthink draft that we're doing here, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Mason Graham, defensive tackle from Michigan. Now, if you want to talk about a dream scenario, that Mason Graham is still available at 10 when the Bears pick, oh, baby, that'd be the one guy who I would say, if all 10 prospects that could potentially be on the board, Mason Graham, just in a vacuum, if he happened to be there, that would be the most excited I could potentially be for a guy that would be joining the Bears, because I think he has got the cleanest film. Now, the measurables, he could be a little bit taller. He could be a little bit heavier. His 40-yard dash could be a little bit faster. But all those things are above average. But the film, the snap-in, snap-out film, the technician that he is against the run, the fluidity and suddenness that he attacks with as a pass rusher, his ability to penetrate into the gap, the flat back and leverage that he's able to get into blockers with, straighten them up with violence in his separation. I mean, when you want a defensive tackle to do something at a high level, you put on the film of Mason Graham, and it's been this way for years. He is the cleanest tape of anyone in this draft cycle.
Wow. That is a great endorsement there for him. And yeah, look, that was the first guy when we started to go through this fluid process. He was the guy. He was my first love, as I like to say. And then I just sort of got away from it because I did not think that he would be available. And in this groupthink mock draft, he is not going to be available to the Bears. So Big Ant going with Mason Graham out of Michigan to Jacksonville at number five. We move to the number six overall pick. That would be the Las Vegas Raiders. And I'm afraid, my Bears fan friends, the dream is over. With the number six overall pick in this Mark Grody, Anthony Heron draft, the Raiders will select running back Ashton Gentry out of Boise State. It's going to happen. They're going to be smitten with him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a surprise. I mean, we've heard rumblings of it. We've heard rumblings of that possibility. It feels like a Raiders thing to do, and I hope for their sake that that's a good product for years to come, and I think it probably will be.
And I think it makes sense. You know, you think of Pete Carroll and everything that he did to have all the success that he had in his years in Seattle and winning a Super Bowl. This is going back even before this past football season when folks, I call a bunch of college football games and evaluating Ashton Gentry, knowing that he's going to face Oregon early in the season. And folks started asking me for an Ashton Gentry comp prior to the season. I said, you know what? It's kind of a smaller Marshawn Lynch. And frankly, back then, I didn't recognize the top gear that Ashton Gentry possesses back then. So he's got more top-end speed than I was giving him credit for prior to the season. But Marshawn Lynch did quite well without having elite-level top-end speed. But just as far as his running style, I gotta say, he's kind of a smaller Marshawn Lynch. Like, he loves contact, he seeks contact, but he's available to run away from contact also. And I just think that Genty, Pete Carroll's gonna look at that film and say, you know what? There's a lot of beast mode in this prospect right here, and he can really add to what the Raiders are bringing to the table. So yeah, I agree with you. If Genty's on the board when the Raiders are picking, that's going
to
be their guy.
Let's get into what I consider to be here from 7 to 10, a slightly more ambiguous area.
Yeah.
But you got at number 7, Big Ant.
With the number 7 pick in what we presume will be a Thursday's first round of the NFL draft. No trade so far, so let's assume the Jets stay put at number 7. The New York Jets select Armon Membo. Out of Missouri, okay. The Mizzou right tackle.
Okay. He's going to be working for Justin Fields? Is that the guy he's going to be blocking for?
That's right. Justin Fields gets an early draft pick on the offensive line. Fields would be the starting Jets quarterback. Membo, the road grader at right tackle. Just think about what it'll look like. You run some QB power, some QB sweep. With Justin Fields
like
in the backfield for the Jets. He's carrying the rock, and Membo is just mowing people down at right tackle. And I love him as a prospect. I do. As folks have asked me about him and the potential for the Bears to take him if he's still on the board at 10, my main concern is we ain't seen him play left tackle.
Yeah, right tackle.
The Bears got a right tackle. And there are other quality left tackles in this cycle. So maybe somebody takes Armon Membo and switches him to left and it works out fine. But you just got to take educated guesses in this. And to me, there's other guys that play left tackle and do it well that I would prefer to see the Bears take. Whereas the Jets do need a right tackle. And they've got a quarterback they're hoping for big things from on this one-year deal, essentially, basically a one-year guaranteed deal that they've given to Justin Fields. So go ahead and solidify that offensive line a bit more.
Boom. Membo, 6'4", 332, a three-year starter, as Big Ant said, at right tackle. It's hilarious. I almost don't even read this, but average height, they're saying, at 6'4", 332 pounds. I get it. I mean, because it seems like every guy starts, like Will Campbell, 6'6", 319. But for whatever it's worth, I mean, we got to be real about what people are saying about these guys. All right. That is, we'll pick up the pace here just a little bit as the clock is running here. At number 8 overall in this mock draft of record. This is the mock draft of record is what it is. The Carolina Panthers will select Tetero McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona, to work with Bryce Young, who I assume will be QB1 for the Carolina Panthers when they open up training camps and OTAs and all that. So the first wide receiver is off the board, 6'4", 213, the wide receiver out of Arizona. You like that or not, Big Ant?
Tetero McMillan is definitely worthy of a top 10 pick. Now, to be fair, you know, you did have Travis Hunter coming off the board to the Browns. He'll play wide receiver and DB. So Tetero McMillan, you know, you could view him as the second wide receiver coming off the board here. But that being said, yeah, I think he's that type of prospect. And where Travis Hunter, he's certainly a guy with some jump ball ability. There's no doubt. But Tetero McMillan, he plays longer at the position than Travis Hunter does. You know, as far as just the measurables, when you're looking for a guy who you say, all right, we're in the red zone, who can just kind of match up and box out a defender and use his frame and his jump ball ability to do that? I don't know that Travis Hunter is a guy who you're going to say, yeah, let's do that. Let's just have him be the guy who's boxing out defenders in the red zone. Tetero McMillan has more of that in his game. So just as a projection by comparison, I'm saying wide receiver to wide receiver, you know, neither guy is like, you know, Jeremiah Smith, what he's going to be viewed as when he comes out of Ohio State two seasons from now.
Always somebody coming.
Right, but both are worthy of this range in the draft. McMillan just brings more stature to the table on the outside.
Yeah, Matthew Golden out of Texas, another highly thought of guy that could be a first or second round pick. All right, we are two picks away from the Bears. Anthony, you are up at number 9.
Nothing has happened so far to convince me this won't be what happens with the number 9 pick in this Thursday's first round of the NFL draft. The New Orleans Saints will select Shedeur Sanders, quarterback. See you, Colorado Buffs.
He did it. He made it into the top 10. I keep hearing about him falling out of the top 10, but him.
Not happen.
Not happen. Why not?
The film shows that he should be a top 10 pick. And, you know, if you get comfortable with some of the other, I guess, concerns that would be there, if you're concerned about, you know, whether or not he's got all the requisite physical attributes you hope for. I mean, Baker Mayfield was the number one overall pick in the draft. Baker Mayfield doesn't have some Matthew Stafford arm. Jared Goff was the number one overall pick in the draft a few years ago. He doesn't have the Lamar Jackson mobility. So Shedeur Sanders, is he as big as, you know, Cam Newton, some of these other quarterbacks? No. Is he as fast as Justin Fields and some of these other quarterbacks? No. But can he play the quarterback position at an elite level? Mm-hmm. Yes. As a prospect, then you get him into the league mm-hmm. and nurture him, mm-hmm. develop him, give him that opportunity. So I think he's definitively worthy of that. And the Saints could use a young quarterback.
I like it. I like the guts of that pick. All right, we're going to take a break. But when we return on this, the mock draft of record with yours truly and Anthony Herron, we will tell you, both of us will have the opportunity to tell you, maybe we'll do another coin flip for who goes first for the Bears at number 10. We'll both take a stab at it. There's lots of, see, this is the way it's going to work, folks. There's going to be lots of good players available at number 10 yep. to the Bears. We got lots of people texting us about moving up and moving back. This is why my gut is the Bears will stay at number 10, but we are going to find out. Quick break, and then we come back here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Welcome back to the Scores NFL Draft Preview Show. Here are your hosts, Mark Grody and Anthony Herron.
We're doing the mock draft of record right now on the Score, and we have reached the moment of truth. Number 10 on the board is where the Chicago Bears draft. And I decided during the break, Big Ant, that I would like you to go first because I'm actually very interested to hear what direction you will go for the Chicago Bears at number 10, sir.
I was waiting for the time. With the 10th pick in the draft of record, the Chicago Bears select Kelvin Banks, offensive tackle, University of Texas.
There it is. Explain yourself, Mr. Big Ant.
I believe he's the second best left tackle prospect in this draft. And, you know, Armand Membo talked about him earlier. He's a right tackle and feel good about his future as a right tackle. Don't know really what to make of his future as a left tackle. Kelvin Banks, I think he's going to be a high-level left tackle. And the good thing about where the Bears are at right now, there's not a lot of positions where I look at the Bears and I say, well, at least you kind of got that figured out or you're covered up there. You can kind of, you know, take a little bit of a swing on a guy. And frankly, I feel better about DeAndre Swift than some folks do because I was realistic in my mind about what DeAndre Swift was. I think a lot of other folks thought DeAndre Swift was going to be something he's not. DeAndre Swift's a playmaking running back, but he's not an every down running back. So I think, all right, they've got one quality running back. They can bolster the running back room with another guy somewhere in the draft. Left tackle, you could view in a similar vein. The only issue is, and I've been kind of reminding folks of this, Braxton Jones is hurt. You would look to upgrade. You should look to upgrade in this cycle from Braxton Jones, even if he were healthy. But the fact that Braxton Jones is right now injured, then that even enhances to me the necessity to make sure you're in a good place at left tackle. So if Will Campbell is on the board, Will Campbell's the guy. But presuming Will Campbell is gone by this point, presuming Mason Graham is gone by this point, Kelvin Banks to me is the most realistic. Like just living in this universe, not in the multiverse somewhere where other guys that might be preferable are there. Kelvin Banks can come in and start for the Bears right away at left tackle.
He is. He is a legit left tackle from the reports I hear. He's also a great locker room guy too. So that would fit a couple of needs. So you go Kelvin Banks, the left tackle out of Texas. I, with the knowing that, and this is, and I can honestly say I probably would have done this even if you had not taken Kelvin Banks off the board with the number 10 overall pick for the Chicago Bears in the 2025 mock draft of record, Tyler Warren, tight end, Penn State, 6'6", 256. You could scheme this guy up, and Ben Johnson knows how to scheme those guys up. Guess what? Average arm length.
So you hate Will Campbell and his short arms, but you're all about Tyler Warren somehow.
No, I just drafted Tyler Warren, and that is passing up on Colston Loveland, who seems to be racing to the top of some people's boards. But I go with that. I don't think that should be too shocking to people listening and that listen to the score. It's not exactly the most original thing in the world because a lot of people like Tyler Warren, but yeah, I've kind of fallen in love with him as a player. And I know that there are other really good tight ends on the board. Do you think Tyler Warren is the best tight end on the board?
I do. Yes. And you know, in a similar fashion, you know, we were talking earlier and comparing the running backs a little bit where I was sort of, you know, pointing out my concerns with Ashton Jeanty, and it's really, I still think Ashton Jeanty is the best running back on the board, like I talked about.
Right.
But there are some things that I would view where he's not the generational talent that I think is worthy of the Bears taking him there as a running back. But Omarion Hampton is a player that, yes, he is RB2, but he is a quality prospect as well. Colston Loveland is tight end 2, but is also a high-level prospect. But I do believe Tyler Warren is the best tight end in this class. And a part of the reason is because we've seen him make plays with a volume that you rarely see tight ends get to be, you know, established as in college. The way he was utilized in Penn State's offense by their offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, he was at the top of every opposing game plan week in and week out because Penn State was very limited at wide receiver. But they loved to run the ball. They've got multiple high-level running backs who, frankly, are both returning to State College next season because, you know, NIL, you can pay the guys.
Yeah.
Neither one of them needed to leave for the National Football League. So they went back to Penn State for another year. So they ran the ball well, and they threw it to Tyler Warren. That was Penn State's offense. Run it well and throw it to Tyler Warren all over the field. And you just rarely see tight ends get utilized like they did because not only was he in line on either side of the formation, he was in the slot, he was out wide. They would use these unique formations. He's snapping the ball to other people. They're snapping the ball to him. And in these short yardage scenarios, he did, because he used to play quarterback. He's accustomed to taking snaps from behind center. He was not only an extension of the run game, he was their short yardage ball carrier sometimes, especially when they got inside the 5-yard line. He'd get the ball in the Wildcat, dive over the top of the pile, get touchdowns on the board as a rusher as well. We've rarely seen tight ends in the Heisman Trophy conversation, but that's where he was. Over 100 catches, over 1,200 yards, had production as a ball carrier, production as a receiver. And to at least see the playmaker that he is, we didn't see that from Colston Loveland with the same volume. Mm. So they're different as athletes. Loveland, a more linear prospect as a tight end, more fluid in his route running ability. Tyler Warren's movement skills are probably pretty similar to Cole Kmet, I would say. A big body, good straight line speed, but not a lot of suddenness and separation in the way that he runs his routes. But where he's different from Cole Kmet, and he's beyond Cole Kmet as a playmaking prospect. Cole Kmet's a guy who, basically the main phrase I've used so much throughout his career, when the Bears scheme Cole Kmet open, he makes the grab, he makes a play, he gets a touchdown. Penn State didn't need to scheme Tyler Warren open. He was a contested catch guy. He was a throw him a short pass and watch him roll after the catch. So when you just, evaluating the, kind of the combine types of skills, he doesn't pop in the same way as he does when the actual football is in his hands or when you're throwing the ball up for grabs. He would go up and get it over the top of defenders. You would throw him a short pass. He'd wiggle in the open field. He'd take off and run. He just did so many things that showcase the all-around playmaker that Tyler Warren is. I think if you just said, hey, do a combine. Tyler Warren, overall physical stature and athleticism, probably very similar to Cole Kmet. That's no shade at either guy. They're both high-level quarterbacks for their size. Tyler Warren's more of a playmaker at the tight end position than Cole Kmet is.
I am going to repeat what a texter said earlier. Big Ant, you're great at this. Thank you. That was an excellent breakdown of Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland. Let me add to that with David Siverston, who is of our lads. He was on the Mully and Haw show this morning, and he certainly caught my attention. You'll hear him talking about Warren and Loveland, but he throws in a couple of other names as well. One in particular that I thought was really interesting, the endorsement he gave him. Here it is.
This is probably macro level one of the best tight end groups I've ever seen, and I mean that. They're top heavy. They have two stars and Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland, mm-hmm. and a guy that I personally have right there with them is Terrence Ferguson. He won't be drafted as high, but in 3 years I think we're talking about Terrence Ferguson in the same exact breath as both Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland. And these are guys, they're new age tight ends, meaning they can split out, they can line up with their hand in the dirt, they can make plays on all levels of the passing tree. But they're also demons after the catch. I mean, that's where I love Warren and Ferguson especially. They put up yard after catch numbers similar to what we saw Brock Bowers do, which helped make him an all-pro as a rookie and set records. Colston Loveland is not as physical as those guys, but he's got a lot more wider catch radius, a little bit more nimble, and he's a little more dangerous when it comes to getting the ball away from his body. But those three names, Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland, Terrence Ferguson, those guys could start for me tomorrow.
I'll throw Mason Taylor in there out of LSU. I don't know if he could start tomorrow, but just as another good prospect. The Terrence Ferguson stuff was interesting. And then him saying that this is one of the greatest tight end drafts of all time. Ferguson last year for Oregon, 43 catches, 591 yards. He was a 4-year starter, 6'5", 247. Do you agree with that about his take on Terrence Ferguson, that he could be up there with the big boys, Big Ant?
I think there's upside to Terrence Ferguson. I don't put him in the same category with Warren and Loveland. I think Warren and Loveland are both guys who are more proven commodities as far as how well-rounded they are in bringing to the table. And, Oregon's an offense that ran the football as well. Terrence Ferguson isn't the quality of blocker that either of those guys are. Tyler Warren got better and better as an inline blocker throughout his career. You're playing tight end at Michigan, you got to block. Colston Loveland could do that at a requisite level also. Terrence Ferguson, not as physical as either guy. A little bit banged up, throughout his Oregon career as well. So I like him. Don't get me wrong, but I don't put him quite on par with Warren and Loveland.
Okay. And I didn't even ask you this. Would it be crazy for the Bears to take a tight end before they take a left tackle at number 10? In other words, what would you think about Tyler Warren at 10?
That to me is more of a resounding vote of confidence in Braxton Jones than I believe the Bears should be in a position to give right now.
I gotcha.
Both in his actual play and production on the field and in how confident they could be or should be in his health early in the season. You've done a lot to shore up the interior of the offensive lineman, spent a bunch of money in there. You got a right tackle who you should feel, you know, good about what his future will be with this franchise also. And you got a chance here to take a left tackle and really solidify what you should view as a quality front five while also still having Braxton Jones there in the wings. Maybe it's a competition at left tackle. Even if it's not, you've got a guy who's played good football for you. Not great, not elite, but Braxton Jones has played good football for the Bears throughout his career so far, and he can be there. Now, who knows? We're talking about, you know, could you move this first-round pick over to left tackle even though he's never played it? If Braxton Jones becomes a backup offensive tackle for you, now maybe he's a guy who could bop over to the other side and try playing right tackle for the first time as a swing option for you. But I don't think the Bears should be passing on left tackles. And, you know, it's viewed as there's a drop-off once you get past the early portion of the draft here at left tackle. So I don't think you want to pass on these guys for a tight end when you do at least have Cole Kmet and you try to shore that up in other ways also. Or, frankly, for a running back, when you do at least have DeAndre Swift, and there's a bunch of running backs you could try to solidify some depth in that room with, too.
It would also say something if they passed on tackle. Let's say something about Karan Amagaji, who was a third-round pick last year, and there should be more, obviously, expected out of him. We need to take another break here, but when we come back, we haven't really talked much about the Bears defense and specifically edge, obviously, yeah, and the interior. Let's address needs in those areas with what the Bears have added already and what they need to add in terms of either depth or even starting on that defensive line. We will do that next. It's Mark Grody and Anthony Herron on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And, you know, in regard to Mason Graham, guys, we have him going top five, but I do not put that in stone. This is a traits-based league. His traits are very average at best, and his is a defensive tackle class and defensive line class overall that is filled with guys that are dripping in traits. Mason Graham might be available for the Bears at 10.
I've heard that from a few people now. That seems to be the momentum that is being carried out by a lot of the draft experts, including that gentleman right there, David Siverston of Our Lads, who was on the Molly and Haw show today. Big Ann, I know that it sounds like you think a little bit more highly of Mason Graham out of Michigan than he does. You know, as we look at, as we start to look at the Bears defense here, and we know what's good. We know what is probably going to be around or in the rotation. We know that Montez Sweat is going to obviously continue to be a big part of what the Bears are doing on defense. They brought in Grady Jarrett, so he'll be a big part of what the Bears are doing on defense, probably the three technique. Dio Dangbo is here. We'll see. I'm fascinated to see how much they really value him as an edge guy, as a guy that can get to the quarterback, because he just hasn't gotten to the quarterback a whole lot. Jervon Dexter heading into his third year. Hopefully that there is more improvement from Jervon Dexter, because I think he needs to improve more. Zach Pickens is leaning. I mean, he had a bad year last year. I mean, we saw him inactive at times. So I don't know if he is part of the plan. So it wouldn't be crazy, Big Ant, or would it be, if the Bears were thinking defense at number 10 or somewhere along the line, whether it is in one of those second round picks with a interior defensive lineman or even an edge rusher?
Yeah, to be able to have the amount of bites at the apple that they've begun to have over the offseason and that they have the potential to have in this draft, the Bears, I think, need to capitalize on it here. And they've already done so by enhancing the veteran presence with Grady Jarrett, like you mentioned, Dio Dangbo. So you bring in a couple of guys who, like in Grady Jarrett especially, increases the temperament of that D-line room. Like there's a fanaticism that he plays the game with that should be pretty infectious to the rest of that group. You would certainly at least hope so. But then beyond that, not only what he does on game day, but then everything I've heard about Grady Jarrett and the time he spent in Atlanta, just season in and season out, he prepares like a pro, prepares like a winner every day that he's in the facility too. And so that should have the potential to rub off on guys as well, because development is the thing that I come back to so constantly with the Bears, or frankly with other teams around town here too. When you have young, moldable lumps of clay, how do you get the most out of them? How do you get them to their best? And we saw some flashes from Jervon Dexter last season. Frankly, with Zach Pickens not dressing the last couple of games of the year, I actually thought it was coming off his most productive game he had had as a Bear, and then he doesn't dress at the end of the year. And that surprised me. That caught me off guard a little bit, because I was wondering if maybe there were some signs of life after really not seeing a lot in a couple of seasons from Zach Pickens. So they expended, you know, legitimately high draft capital on both of those guys, and you haven't gotten the returns you're hoping for from either one of them. And that's where having Dio Dangbo, not only as your defensive end, but is he an upgrade over DeMarcus Walker, where Odangbo, he's had an 8-sack season, just like DeMarcus Walker had a 7 or 8 sack season a time or two at some point in his career. But to continue to bolster that defensive front, like let's say someone out of Tennessee, like James Pierce, he's a defensive end out of Tennessee, a pass rusher that was viewed as a first-round level talent that is now, you know, starting to, you know, some of the luster is coming off of James Pierce and the way he's being evaluated here. If Pierce is on the board at 39, he's the type of guy that I would look at and say, you know what? He can just be a situational pass rusher and wreak havoc on opponents, because there's a lot of prospects in this cycle right now on the defensive line who have traits, that term traits that we throw around so much in the draft cycle. How tall are they? How long are they? How fast are they? How do they bend? What do they jump? But then you put on the film and you wonder if they can actually rush the quarterback. There's some guys who look great at the combine that can't rush the quarterback. So then you wonder, if you were in college and you were a five-star prospect and you're bigger, faster, stronger than everybody else, but you barely had any production throughout your career, why is that? A lot of times it's just because you just don't have that playmaker trait to you. I talked about Tyler Warren as a tight end, as a playmaker. He's exceptional in that regard, above average athlete, but also a playmaker. Mason Graham, a playmaker. Yeah, the measurables aren't as elite, aren't as impressive as some of the other prospects, but man, is he really good at football. And guess what someone's going to draft him to do? They're going to draft him to play football, and he's really good at that. So I think that gets lost in some of this evaluation. Think back to Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
When the Bears drafted him out of Georgia, sure, with all those traits.
Yeah.
Drafted him, what, like number 10?
Yeah.
To be a
it
pass
might have been
rusher?
Seven. Was he? Oh, no, you might be right. It was probably close.
It was right around 10, okay, like 9 or 10, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, 9.
I mean, Leonard Floyd has had a nice career.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a guy who's put up some numbers, but the Bears drafted him in the top 10 when they needed an elite-level pass rusher, a Pro Bowl edge rusher. And he wasn't that because he had never been that in college. He was the Swiss Army knife at Georgia, and he's been really good as a Swiss Army knife in the NFL, who has also learned how to sack the quarterback. So that's the thing. You know, we assume things about certain players and prospects and assign their traits to the production. And then in the end, if they weren't productive in that way in college, it can be asking a lot to just presume they're going to become high-level productive pieces in the pros. So when you got a guy who's been productive in college and has enough of those traits, and if you're confident he brings the requisite attitude, professionalism, tenacity to the table, you put that in the room, man, it should lead to something that pays dividends.
That then brings me to a, because let's look beyond Abdul Carter and Jalen Walker, because I don't think that either of those guys is going to be there.
Right.
Those are the two top guys. And Shamar Stewart, because you mentioned the idea of not knowing if guys can actually get to the quarterback. Shamar Stewart is one of those guys with all the physical attributes, 6'5", 267, not to mention that he was part of a four-man front at Texas A&M. The problem is, and you can put that in air quotes if you would like, is that for three straight years, he has had in each of those seasons 1.5 sacks. The hurries are there, but actually getting to the quarterback and knocking him down before he throws the ball, that is not happening. Similar to a different degree with Dio Odangbo. So that, what do you think about Shamar Stewart? Because he's an interesting prospect with a lot of the draft experts right now.
It just depends on where you take him.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're talking Mykael Williams, Shamar Stewart, there's guys where, you know, if you're looking at these guys at the top half of the first round, you're hoping for immediate production when you draft someone that high. You know, you're not drafting a guy who you just, oh, like it's one thing, all right, quarterback, developmental prospect, maybe we got a vet who they can sit a little bit. You draft a wide receiver in the top 10, you want immediate production. You draft a D lineman, top 10, top 15, you want immediate production. And, you know, if you're not getting that, then you better be really deep at that spot, or you better be a squad who's in a position to be gluttonous at certain spots. You know, like when the Eagles took Jalen Carter a couple of years ago, even though they didn't necessarily need him, but he's been uber productive, and of course the Eagles won a Super Bowl, and he's still been a bit of a malcontent, but it's worked out, and it's fit in well in Philadelphia with everything they've built and how great that D-line room is, even aside from Jalen Carter. That's where if you draft Shamar Stewart, you draft a Mykael Williams, how high are you willing to draft someone like that who hasn't shown big-time production in college despite being the biggest, strongest, fastest athlete on the field virtually every time they step out there? What is that disconnect from the athleticism that doesn't really lead to production?
And then you have somebody like Mike Green, who had 17 sacks, but it was at Marshall. So you really have to zero in on those kinds of things. We could return to this a little bit, but we got to take a break before we bring in our first guest of the night. As a matter of fact, we're going to be guest dominant in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to have Alex Shapiro on from CHSN. He is coming up next. And then right after that, we're going to go to Eric Edholm of NFL.com. He is their lead draft writer. So we've got Shapiro and Edholm coming up next with Mark Grody and Anthony Heron on The Score.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face.
That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.